بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The last topic that we have commenced was pertaining to ruku, qawma and sajda. Very briefly, that here we had discussed that the person that is a pauper, he's a poor person, he's standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he realizes the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then now he bends his back to kiss the feet of Allah ta'ala. And this is when he says, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And then a person, thereafter he comes up saying the dua, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. And then he praises Allah Ta'ala again, رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدَ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِي كَمَا يُحِبُّ وَيَرْضَى رَبُّنَا. So he says this coming up, this is an indication that when you went into ruku, this was already showing humbleness. So this humbleness, I will remain upon it. And then he says, then comes the time where a person now falls at the feet of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And he reads the tasbih, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, that my Allah, my Rabb is pure and most high. And he says it is necessary for every person to recognize Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala all these, through these praises of Allah Ta'ala, according to his intelligence, according to his intellect, and the capacity that is within him. Now further he writes, Janna chahiye ke ruku jo maqam bari ta'zeem ka hai. That's from here we must understand that ruku is a place of great honor of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. اس سے بندہ کو معلوم ہوا کہ تجھ پر بری عنایت صاحب کے ہے. From here we came to know there are great favors of Allah تبارک و تعالی that are upon you. That is why a person now went into ruku. جو ایسے مقام بزرگ میں بدون طلب اور اجازت کسی نقیب چوبیدار کے تجھ کو دخل ہوا. So he says that this is the great favor of Allah تعالی upon you, that in such a high position that your person has come down in ruku before Allah تعالی. Allah Ta'ala afforded you the opportunity to go into ruku without taking permission from any guard or from any security. Person wanted to perform salah and now he went into ruku. So Allah Ta'ala has given you general permission for this. Isi waaste bahut si tareef karta hai aur peshani apne khaak par rakhta hai aur baar baar kehta hai Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So here when a person, he realized the great favor of Allah Ta'ala and he went into ruku. And then he realizes even further that Allah Ta'ala has given me this opportunity to go into ruku without taking permission from anyone. I'm free to go into ruku and perform salah whenever I want. So here he goes even one step further to thank Allah Ta'ala. And this is when he goes right to the ground and he places his forehead on the bare ground. And again he says, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, that most pure is my Rabb, that is most high. This is love. When a person has love for something, then he can't stop talking about that thing. He's bought a new car, or he wants to buy a new car. So now he can't stop talking about that car. As it says that, Mona Umar Sa Palanpuri, rahmatullahi, used to give an example. He says a person that got a button factory. So he says that button factory that he got, wherever he goes, his gaze only falls on buttons. Why? Because he's got a button factory. And he's only talking about buttons, because he's got that particular factory. So when a person, he loves something, he only talks about that particular thing. So the minimum we discussed the other day, that when a person goes into sajda, then one time he should say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. That for that duration, one. And to say it three times, that is sunnah. But here he writes, says bar bar kehta hai, not only three times. When a person, he has that love for Allah Ta'ala, then again and again, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. This is the indication a man's got love for Allah Ta'ala. As I mentioned in one of the majlis also, he says sometimes say it more. So now we get a little bit tired also. So he says this is when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will raise a person. When Abdul Hafiz Sahib Makki, rahmatullahi, was in Makkah Sharif, he passed away here in South Africa. So Hazrat Maulana, he grew up in Makkah Sharif. And the mentality in Makkah al-Mukarramah was that everything there you do, they ask for dalil. If you're sitting in the haram of Makkah and you kiss the Quran, so somebody will even pitch up maybe after that and will ask you, what's your dalil, what's your proof that you kiss the Quran? So that's how they are. Everything they want a proof for. So Maulana, he grew up in that environment. So he also used to ask for dalil. So then when he grew up, his father took him and sent him as a Shaykh Rahmatullahi. So when he came in the majlis of the Shaykh Rahmatullahi, then he asked the Shaykh Rahmatullahi, all this that you got here, Khanqa, Bayat, Zikr, what is all this? What is the dalil? What is the proof for all this? So the Shaykh Rahmatullahi said, no dalil. So he says, then why are you doing all this when there's no dalil? He said, love of Allah Ta'ala. All this we do for the love. Later on, just that one sentence of the Shaykh Rahmatullahi, all that doubt was removed. And later on, Maulana said that perhaps people will pass fatwa of kufr on me. That I'll see all the fundamentals of deen, whether it is zakat, whether it is hajj, whether it is fasting, whatever it is. All this, it is only for the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when a person has got love, then all the obstacles are removed. Now he's only taking the name of Allah ta'ala in that sajda of his. Further he says, اور جاننا چاہیے کہ سجدہ مقام نہایت قرب اور ظہور تجلیات جمال بادشاہ ہی کا ہے. And also come to know that the sajda is a position where you intensely close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Person is very very close to Allah. And this is the manifestation of the beauty of a king. That when a person goes by the king, although that's not permissible, that a person bows down, he lowers himself before the king. But he says, this is the manifestation of the beauty, that before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, everyone is lowering themselves. So a person has gone into sajda. This is the first sajda he has gone into. یہ بندہ مارے حیات مضمون جو نہیں کہنے آیا اسی واسطے حکم ہوا کہ ایک دم ٹھہر کر دوسری بار عرض کرے. Says, now, when you went into the sajda, a person went there to praise Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because your favors are so much upon me, Allah, that now I've come right to the ground. But what happens? Because of the awe of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a person, he could not express himself in the sajda. That what he wanted to say, he was unable to say it. Many times you'll find this in the his class, where the children, the parents say, you know, he learned the sabak at home. And he gave the sabak. Father will say, or the mother will say, he gave the sabak to me, I heard him. And he knew the sabak perfectly. But when he came to the ustad, what happened? He forgot the sabak. Many times it happens in tarawih. Person, he knows his sabak perfect. But when he comes on the musalla, at the maybe the most easiest ruku, all of a sudden, he just gets stuck over there. And he makes a mistake. Or sometimes there's some senior people in the congregation. Now when you see them and you came into the masjid, already now, a person got ghabrat. Now he's going to go on the musalla. So now he's going to make a mistake. So exactly the same way, we're supposed to express the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We're supposed to say the praises of Allah ta'ala. But because of the awe, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a person was unable to do it. So Allah ta'ala says, no, take a gap. Take a break a little bit. Like the ustad will tell that boy, okay, go, learn it again. And then you come back to me. So he'll go, he'll learn it, he'll come back and give it. So exactly here also Allah ta'ala says, you also take a break now. So from the sajda you come up. That is what we call the jalsa posture. That here you couldn't express yourself. So you came up in that position. You waited a little bit. And then you go back in the second sajda. That now you got an opportunity. You cooled off a little bit. Now you can make the tarif of Allah ta'ala. You can praise Allah ta'ala as you're supposed to praise Allah. This is what he's saying. Then a person has been commanded, ke ekdam thair kar, that wait a little bit. Dusri bar arz kare. Now for the second time, go and present the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ye mazmoon hai jalsa ka. Aur jalsa mein ye alfaz kehne nihayat khub hai aur sunnat hai. He says, this is the subject matter of the jalsa. This is why the jalsa posture has come about. And he says, in the jalsa posture, the sitting posture between the two sajdas, he said, to say these words is extremely excellent. And it is a sunnat. What are the words? Hadith sahih mein aaye hai. This is mentioned in the authentic books of a hadith. Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wahdini warzuqni warfa'ni wajburni. That a person is making this dua, Allahumma ghfirli, O Allah forgive me. Warhamni, O Allah, you have mercy upon me. Wahdini, O Allah guide me. Warzuqni, O Allah bless me, grant me sustenance. Warfa'ni, O Allah elevate me. Wajburni, in Allah protect me from harm. So here also, that for a ta'deel arkan, here we need to understand a matla of fiqh. That ta'deel arkan is a wajib of salah, where in every posture, all the limbs of the body come to a complete standstill, at a complete rest. So this takes perhaps 1 or 2 seconds, where all the limbs of the body come to a complete standstill. So normally there's a lot of negligence between the two sajdas. What happens from the one sajda, we come up. We hardly came up and we already gone down for the second sajda. So you're omitting a wajib of salah. So by reading these du'as, we find that this will be taken care of. The ta'deel arkan will be taken care of. Because when you go into ruku, you're reading Subhana Rabbiyal Azim thrice. When you come up, Sami Allahu liman hamida, we read Rabbana lakal hamd quickly and we go into sajda. So there's some negligence. And between the two sajdas, nothing is generally recited. So here also there's negligence. So these du'as can be recited, but not in the faraz namaz. He's explaining, it's coming further. We'll do it just now. So he says, this is a dua that a person should read. place. So it says, Jalse aur Qaume mein siwa in do du'aao ke aur bhi sahi haditho mein manqul hai. He says that there are other du'as also that have been mentioned in the authentic books of hadith besides these two du'as. Where we discuss the du'a, we say Sami Allahu liman hamida rabbana lakal hamd hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. That's one du'a. And this is Allahumma ighfir li warhamni wa'afini wahdini warzuqni wajburni warfa'ni. The wording could be a little different. So he says that besides these two du'as that we discussed, this is in the jalsa posture. He says in the authentic books of ahadith, there are other du'as also that can be recited on these two occasions. Lekin Hanafi madhab mein aisa sabit hua hai ki wo du'aye agar nafil namaz ke qome aur jalse mein pare to sunnat hai. He says but in the Hanafi madhab, these du'as are to be recited in the qoma posture and the jalsa posture. He says this is only in nafil namaz. You don't read these long du'as in the faraz namaz. Isliye ke faraz namaz mein in du'aon ka parna sunnat nahi hai. In the faraz namaz to read these du'as, it is not sunnat. In the nafil namaz you will read it, but not in the faraz namaz. Magar qawma mein sami Allahu liman hamida aur Allahumma rabbana wa lakal hamd, faraz namaz mein bhi sunnat hai. But in the faraz namaz we read the short praises of Allah Ta'ala. The imam says sami Allahu liman hamida, we say rabbana lakal hamd, rabbana wa lakal hamd, Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd, Allahumma rabbana wa lakal hamd. All this is acceptable. A person who can recite any of this is sunnat in the faraz namaz. And in the nafil namaz we read the long version. Phir Allahu Akbar kehkar zameen par sar rakhe aur kahe subhan rabbiyal aala. Now a person, when he came up into the qoma posture, then he will say Allahu Akbar and he will place his head on the ground and say subhan rabbiyal aala. Aur janna chahiye ke jis waqt ruku ya sajda kare aur Allahu Akbar kahe, is Allahu Akbar ke mazmoon ko isi tarah samjhe ke ek bar awwal mein samjha tha. Because when a person he says the takbir and you say Allahu Akbar and you go into ruku, and when you come up again, then you say Allahu Akbar and you go into sajda. He says exactly how you understood that Allahu Akbar in the beginning, where we explained takbir at-tahrima, where you say Allahu Akbar. So the dunya also you push one side. Akhirat also you're not interested in. It is only me and my Allah. So he says exactly the same mindset you should have when you say Allahu Akbar here also. That now I'm going down before my Allah. Don't forget dunya also, forget akhirat. It is only me and my Allah. When you say the Allahu Akbar for going into sajda, then also keep this in mind. It is only me and my Allah. Ruku mein nazar pao par jamaye rakhe. When you in ruku now, your gaze should be on your feet. Aur Allah Ta'ala ki kibriyai aur barai aur apni zillat ka tasawwur kare. When a person, he is in ruku now, his gaze is on his feet. At that time, Hazrat says that think of the greatness of Allah. How great Allah Ta'ala is. And think that I am humiliated. I am absolutely nothing. I am the worst person. Allah Ta'ala has given me this opportunity. This is namaz teaches us the quality of tawazu. That humbleness. A person humbled himself before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And those that adopted this quality, how didn't Allah Ta'ala elevate them? On one occasion, Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi, he was sitting in Pakistan. So he was in the clinic. So whilst he was sitting in the clinic, there was one person that was going out, he was walking. And he's got a pot that he's carrying, a big pot. He's carrying the pot and he's walking. So Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi, he asked the people that are in the clinic, do you all know who this man is? So they said, no, we don't know who he is. He says, this is the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. He was the Grand Mufti, Faqihul Asar, in the kitab of Khutbah kitab of Mullah Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, where the laws of the khutbah have been written. Mullah Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi cited him as Faqihul Asr. He was the Faqih of the time. He was the jurist of the time. And he is carrying a pot. Today we'll feel difficult to carry a packet also. Imagine carrying a pocket of potato in the street and walking. Here he is carrying the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, he's carrying a pot and he's walking in the streets of Pakistan, and it means absolutely nothing to him. This is the amount of tawazu and humbleness these people had in them. Many a time the wife, or as it explains this in a different subject, but he says the wife will phone at work. When we're at work, she'll phone, and at that time what she says, when you're coming home, bring a pocket of potatoes or onions or something of that sort. Then what happens? We get so angry. At that time a person will say, he says, you nag me, it's home also. Here also is the same story. And he says, after that 5 minutes, another lady will phone. And she'll want something. He says, yes, by all means, what do you want? Give me your address, I'll deliver it for you also. Then we say, that's customer service. But when the wife phone, they were not prepared to do it. So this tawazu, this must come. Mala Umar Sa Palampuri Rahmatullah Ali says, he says that many people, when they write their letters also, when we write to our Sheikh, we write this useless servant, haqir, poor taqseer, all 100 titles they write over there, that I'm like this and I'm like that. So one day one person, he used to tell Mala Umar Sa Palampuri Rahmatullah Ali, he says, I'm nothing, I'm useless, I'm absolutely nothing. So one day Hazrat was sitting in the haram of Medina Munawwara, and this person then came in the haram of Medina Munawwara. So when he came in the haram, so he came by Hazrat Maulana. So Hazrat Maulana told him, he said, Gada, Du'aya. Then he said, Donkey, you came. Got very angry, got very, very upset that I'm being titled as a donkey. So Hazrat said, you said you're nothing. You are nothing. I made you something so big, I made you into a donkey. And here you're getting angry. So see, the reality is not in the heart. We write these titles, Allah Ta'ala give us this humbleness, this tawazu. The reality is not in the heart. That is why we have to go under some sheikh. Where the word tazkiya, in the Arabic, those that know Arabic, this is a fi'l muta'addi. Fi'l muta'addi means you need a doer, the one that does the action. And upon whom the action is done. So you need a doer also, and you need the one upon whom the action is done. So here, tazkiya, purification of the soul, you need the sheikh. He has to make the tazkiyah. And who does he make the tazkiyah of? Of the murid. So the sheikh must do the work. So it's actually the sheikh, he makes an effort on the murid, he makes itla of the murid, and that pride that is there, he takes it out gradually over a period of time from the murid. So a person on his own, he thinks that I can make my tazkiyah. So here a person, he cannot do it. Very, very difficult. He's mentioned in the kitabs, in the previous times, just to take this pride out. Just to take this pride out, to what extent the mashayikh has to go. If today any of the sheikh or mashayikh have to go to that extent, leave that extent, even a little bit in that direction, the khankas will be empty. Everyone will run away. That is why they make riayat of everyone. The mashayikh today, when they make islah, they don't even tell the person directly. Directly they don't even tell, because people get so offended, there's so much of pride. So what they do is in the majlis, while they're having majlis, they just make indication that this is a bimari, this is a sickness, and some people do this. So now every person must take it for himself, that it is, I'm being referred to over here. Then a person will take lesson. But if a person says, not for me, it's for somebody else, then perhaps we are being referred to, but we're thinking it's for somebody else. Now we're not going to take the lesson. So initially this is how, now, in fact nowadays, this is how they make islah. But in the previous time, Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, a very, very great sheikh. So his son didn't benefit from the father. Now normally when the father is in the home, such a great sheikh, so everyone at home take him for granted. He is normal. He is just like us. What is his martaba? What is his position? The reality only opens up when a person passes away. When the sheikh is gone, then we say, you know what? I could have taken so much benefit. I didn't take the benefit. When Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali passed away, they say so many people came for the janazah of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Virtually, there wasn't place to put your feet. So many people had come. So one Allah Wala was there. He said, ah. He said, if only these people could have taken benefit when Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah was alive. There he says in the majlis, 20 people come, 30 people come. Today when he's left the world, then how many are coming? Thousands and thousands of people are coming for the janazah salah. And today people are here. But they lost out when he was alive. So this is when a person should take benefit. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. That bring iman and be with the truthful. Who? Those that are truthful in their taqwa. The Ahlullah, be with these people. But what does Shaitan do? Shaitan also knows how to play with us. So Shaitan will come, and Shaitan will say, wait, this is a Sheikh. Sheikh was Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Ali. Those were great, great Mashayikh. Those were great people. They gone, that time is gone now. So there's no more Mashayikh. No. And then this Sheikh, we don't benefit, because we're looking there, that we want Mashayikh like those. The mashayikh also are according to our times. The weakness that we have, according to that, Allah Ta'ala gives us mashayikh. But they are true Ahlullah. They are the friends of Allah. You just join with them, you will reach Allah Ta'ala. So when they are there, we don't benefit. And the day they gone, then we regret. We say, you know, we had the opportunity, we didn't take benefit from the opportunity. So those whose company Allah Ta'ala gives us, mashayikh also, sometimes they also have their deficiencies. But we don't look at their deficiency. We look at the good in everyone, and we will take maximum benefit from the good of a person. Previously also, I think I mentioned that Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, he says that your sheikh is like the downpipe. He's like a downpipe. He says when the rain falls on the roof. And that water then goes from the into the gutter, into the downpipe. And you at the bottom, you're going to receive water from the downpipe because you're on the ground, so you're going to receive from there. If you don't miss that downpipe, you keep the downpipe clean, that water that you're going to get in the bottom is going to be pure, clean water, rainwater. But if you mess up that downpipe, if you put mud into that downpipe, you're going to get muddy water there. So the moment you entertain some evil thought about your sheikh, finish, you mess that downpipe. Now you're not going to benefit. That rahmat of Allah Ta'ala that was flowing on him, and from there it flows onto you, you're going to be deprived. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, he brought Iman. Al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qabla. Before Islam, whatever guna you have committed, when you brought Iman, it is wiped out. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his uncle's life was taken. So, that pain was still there. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Wahshi, you have brought Iman, but go away from here. Leave, go away from here. Why? Because if he was in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that ill feeling would be in the heart of Nabi Alayhi Salaam. Greatest Shaykh was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Greatest Muridin was Sahaba. He will be deprived of the phase of Nubuwat now. That phase from the Shaykh that is going to come, the benefit that is normally passed over from the Shaykh to his Murid, is going to be deprived. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go away from here. He was that person that had ita'at. He obeyed. He immediately went away to Sham. And he lived the rest of his life in Sham. It is mentioned when Musaylamatul Kazzab, who na'udhu billah, he claimed to be a Nabi, he came up. So at that time, he fought on the side of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala against them. And it is mentioned he was the one that killed Musaylamatul Kazzab. He killed him. So Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala used to say, tilka bi tilka. This is for that. On one side, I took the life of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, such a great personality. But he says, I've covered up by taking the life of this imposter as well. So we're talking about this pride. So Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahmatullahi. So from there we went here. So his son didn't benefit. But now the father passed away. Now when the father passed away, his eyes opened. That I could have taken so much benefit, but I didn't take benefit. So what he did? He said that let me see which of my father's khulafa are around. So one of his father's khulafa, they were in another country. So he undertook this journey and he went to visit him. So when he went there, that great sheikh, at the end, it was his sheikh's son. So this is the respect that he had. He came out, gave him a red carpet treatment, welcomed him, the best of food, and made him comfortable. So after 1-2 days, he spoke up. He said, I came for another objective. He says, what's your objective? He says, no, I came for my islah. My father's gift that he had passed over to you, I came to take that gift back. He said, oh, you came for that gift. He says, okay. Immediately stopped. All that entertainment, five-star treatment, stopped there and there. This is Islam. And then what he said? He said, next to the masjid, in those days, there were no geysers. So they used to warm the water. So he said, put him in that room next to the masjid, next to wuzukhana. And his job is to put the coal, put the wood, whatever, and warm the water for the musallis that will come to make wudu. So put him there. So he stayed there. And after some time, now the food wasn't the same. Now he gave him a much lower type of a food. So he was getting weaker also. But that little bit, that pride was still inside him. Because he knew he came from a respectable family. So he knew he just has to work a little bit on this. And you'll see the colors, what a great person he'll become. So one day, in those days, they used to get those girls. They used to take out all the soil, the nice soil. They used to take it and go and dump all the soil. So he told her that when you're taking the soil, I want you to go near him, just pass by him. And what's his reaction, you come and tell me. This is how Isla is made. Now you tell the sheikh, what is the condition? So she took the soil, she was going. Oh, she went near, he got so angry. He says, you're lucky I'm in this country. Had I been in Gango, I would have sorted you out. So she came back, she told the sheikh, this is the story. Said, oh, not of Isla. He needs not of Isla. So leave him there. Let him carry on, let him do his job. So he left him there. After some time, she was going again. He says, this time you go more closer to him. Go more closer. So she went more close. But this time, he didn't say anything. But the anger was still on his face. So see, there was improvement from the last time. She went more closer, but he didn't say anything. But the anger was on his face. He says, no, still, he's lying, they're quiet. So after some time, she was passing by. So he told her, this time when you go, I want you to bump into him. And the soil that is there, drop it on him. So when she went, she dropped it. She fell and dropped it. When she fell, he didn't worry about himself. He didn't worry. He said, did you get hurt? Are you okay? So he said, see, Islah has taken place. He's already progressed so much. That pride that was in there, that pride has come out to a great degree now. And this is, Allah Ta'ala save us, but a major portion of the ummah, we are suffering from this illness. And here namaz is one way that this can come out. When you think of, I am nothing, and I'm front of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is so great. This is all Allah's kindness upon me. On one occasion, I remember, we asked Hazrat Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, that when we do so well in our studies, and attaining a good position, so we feel good, pride comes into us. You say, what pride can you have? Who gave you that first position? He says, that is from Allah Ta'ala. A person that Allah Ta'ala has given him profession, is a computer IT, and he's a master at his work. Person is a top accountant. Where did it come from? It's not your intelligence. It's from Allah Ta'ala. Person that is a good Hafiz al-Quran, a good alim. Where did it come from? All this comes from Allah Ta'ala. So namaz will bring this. So nevertheless, the Shaykh also, he saw now that he has now changed. So the next day they were going hunting. So they used to go with the hunting dogs. So he told him that there's a chain that is linked to these dogs. I want you to hold the chain, and no matter what happens, you don't leave the chain. So he accepted. He held the chain, and the dog started running. As it is, he was weak. He wasn't getting food, the best of food. Then he was working, warming the water. So now, as he started running, he got tired. And when he got tired, he fell. But the Shaykh said, don't leave the chain. See, ita'at. When you follow the instruction of the Shaykh, whether you understand or you don't understand, you will reach your destination. But do what the Shaykh has told you. So he held on to the chain. So when he held on to the chain, his whole back, entire back got bruised. So that night, the Shaykh now, when he went to sleep, he saw a dream. And in the dream, he sees his Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullahi. He says, when I gave this gift to you, I didn't do this to you. Why are you doing this to my son? Next morning, he woke up. He said, all that I got from your father, I have passed it over to you. Go now, you've got all the gifts and the entire treasure with you. So see, when Islam is made like that, then where doesn't a person reach? So this is one way that a person, he thinks of the greatness of Allah, and the tawazu comes into a person. This person will fly to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says that when you go into ruku, also think of the greatness of Allah, and I am nothing, I am useless. Many times the Wazir says, he says, hate yourself. That what didn't I do? Which guna did I leave out? Every guna I have committed. I hate myself for what I am. Where can a person, when he thinks like that, where can pride ever come into a person? Where can a person ever think then, I am somebody? Because he hates himself. I am useless. I did every wrong. So if a person thinks like this, then tawazu will enter into a person. Or sajda mein naak par nazar rakhe, aur apni haqarat aur khaskari ka tasawwur kare. When you go in sajda, then you focus on your nose. And they also think of your loneliness. In arkan kabhi achhi tarah mashq karne ke baad agla sabak shuru kare. He says here also that what we have discussed in these lessons, he says now practice upon it, then go to the next sabak. Ye baat bar bar isliye likhi jati hai ki isko aasan aur mamooli samajhte hue tabiyat aage chalne ka taqaza karti hai. He says, why am I writing this? That make mashq, practice on this sabak, then go to the next sabak. He says, because many a times our temperament is such, our nature is such, that we think, this is all simple stuff. Now who doesn't know this? If the Maulana, he speaks and he talks about, make istighfar, read Durood Sharif. Now for us, it's simple stuff. So he says, what? Now we heard this over and over, we're hearing the same story again. So he says that this is our nature, that we say this is simple stuff. And let's move forward. What's ahead? Let us hear what's ahead. Is there something new that is coming ahead? He says, magar yaad rakhe ke samajh mein aa jana aur baat hai. He says that, remember this, that to understand, this is one thing. Aur amal mein aa jana dusri baat hai. But to practice upon it, this is something else. We could have understood the whole lesson. But when the time of Zohar comes, is this in practice? Are we practicing upon it? Yesterday also, Pastor just mentioned, he said that if you have to read the two rakats, and you have to just focus a little bit on this, it's heavy on this, it's heavy on the mind. It is heavy on the mind, it's a strain on the mind. Why? Because now we're trying to focus, we're trying to do it correctly. So he's saying to understand is very easy, but to practice is difficult. Ke mashq ke baghair waqt par yaad aa jana mumkin nahi. If you don't practice upon it, and it's not in your heart, then at the time when you need it, then he says you forget. A person doesn't remember. Like Hazrat Maulana Umar Shah Palanpuri Rahmatullahi used to say, that the parrot, you teach the parrot, La ilaha illallah. You teach the parrot Surah Fatiha, everything you can teach the parrot. Parrot will say all that for you. La ilaha illallah. He give the whole adhan for you also. But let the cat now catch the parrot, and it's in the claws of the cat now. What happens now to the parrot? Now it will start, say, la ilaha illallah, is gone. So exactly the same way at the time of death. What is in the heart of a person, وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, what is in the heart, that is what is going to come out. A person, the questions of the qabr, we know all the questions. One lady passed away now, a few days ago in Ramadan. They say a few weeks before she passed away, she asked, what are the questions I'm going to be asked in the qabr? So all those questions, we learn them, we know the answers also. But in the qabr, وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, what is in the heart, that is what is going to come out. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. One incident just coming to my mind, about we're talking about pride, it's mentioned in one of our akabirin. He's written in his kitab, he says that in Pakistan, this is the harm of pride. He's mentioning this again, because we ourselves, we need it. That is why we're mentioning it. So we will benefit from it. So he mentioned that in Pakistan, there was one person, he owned so much of land that there were three stations that were in his land. So much of land he had. So one day he was in the city center or somewhere, and with his friends, and they were discussing. So they asked him, what's wrong? Is business okay? You got a problem with business? So he addressed them, so much of pride had come into him because of the wealth that he had. So he said, Nange Bukhe, he addressed them. He says, you people, you don't even have clothing. And hungry people. He says, Nange Bukhe, and then he said something thereafter. And then he says that you people, you worry of where you're going to get money from, where you're going to get your sustenance from. He says, I got so much, I got to think all the time where I got to put my money. So much I got. They say, he just made this one statement. He made the statement. He said, Nange Bukhe, tumhare palle mein kya hai? That what is in your pan of the scale? What have you got? And said that few days later, he got sick, and within a week or two, finished, passed away. Sometimes we make, that pride comes, one statement a person makes, on that Allah Ta'ala grabs the person, Allah Ta'ala save us. On that he's taken to task, passed away. Now he had a son. Now look at the consequence the son had to suffer. So all that wealth that he had, the son now, he inherited all that wealth. So all that money came into his hand. Now he was a young boy, and he had no guidance. So he got wrong friendship, wrong friend. And when money is there, then everyone is your friend at that time. So now he started blowing that money, started using that money up. So somebody is telling him, we have to go to Karachi. Somebody says, we have to go to Lahore. Nightclubs, gambling. Then they took him to Bangkok, and he gambled. They said, whatever was in that bank account, he lost it in that one gamble. One gamble. When he came back, he had this habit now. So they say, everything that he had, one by one, those properties started going. They say, finally came that stage with that house that he was living in. He lost that house. And then, the area where his father, in that shopping center, where he made the statement, where he said, what do you have? And he says, you all worry about where your income is going to come from. I'm worried where I'm going to invest. I got so much. In the same place, they say, he stood there and then he used to beg in the same area. This is the consequence of pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. This is now the fourth sabak. The fourth sabak over here is regarding qada and in salam. This is the sitting posture and when a person makes salam. Jis waqt ye banda ardash aur ta'zim aur arz hajat aur tasbih muwafiq apne hausle ke kar chuke. When a person, he has now presented his request to Allah ta'ala. He asked Allah ta'ala for hidayat in Surah Fatiha. He went into ruku, he expressed the greatness of Allah ta'ala. He went into sajda, there also subhana rabbiyal ala. And he presented whatever need he had. He made tasbih of Allah ta'ala according to his capability. To qabiliyat baitne ki hasil ki. Now he has attained the ability of sitting in front of Allah ta'ala. We go to somebody's house. We just don't go inside and you sit down. First we go, we enter the house, we make salam, we embrace the people, ask them how's everything. Then they say, come to the lounge, sit down. So exactly here also, we went through all this procedure. And now we come to the final sitting posture. Now we can sit in front of Allah Ta'ala after praising Allah, asking of all our needs. Agar che baitna samne aise badshah ali jaake tarke adab hai. Although, to sit in front of such a great king, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this is against adab. This is against etiquette. That a person, he sits in front of such a great king, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Lekin mazmoon iska misal par is tarah samjhe. He says, but this subject matter, now understand it from this example. Ki ye baitna roo baroo apne sahib ke is waaste hai. That why we sitting in front of Allah Ta'ala? It's against etiquette, but we are sitting. So why are we sitting in front of Allah Ta'ala? Masalan, jis waqt sahib paav apna daraz kare, aur ye banda ke khidmat e paabosi ki is par lazim hai baja lawe, ya ye ke muntazir hukam ka hai. He says, a person, that the example is this, that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we want to kiss the leg of Allah ta'ala. So he will now spread out his leg. Now this is for our understanding. When he spreads out his leg. So here we have the opportunity of kissing the feet of Allah ta'ala, which is compulsory upon us. Or the other way we can look at it, we are waiting, we are sitting here, that's one way. That Allah ta'ala will now spread out his leg and we're going to kiss the feet of Allah ta'ala. And the other way of understanding is, we are waiting. Allah, what is your command? I'm ready to implement your command. You give me your command and I'm prepared to implement that command. So this is one of the two reasons why we are sitting in front of Allah ta'ala. But he says, لیکن اس مقام کو بھی عبادت سے خالی نہیں رکھنا چاہیے. He says, although we are here waiting for the command of Allah, or here we are waiting to kiss the feet of Allah ta'ala, he said, this juncture also, it will not be void of the ibadat of Allah ta'ala. Even here, there will have to be some ibadat. کہ تحفہ درود اور سلام کا اور بیٹھنا تشہد کا مقرر ہے. So he says, what is the ibadat here? The gift of durood and salam upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to recite tashahud. This is the ibadat that will be done here. That even namaz is not void of durood sharif. Allah ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, that establish salah for my zikr, for my remembrance. Mawlana Bayazid Pandor sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, he was bi'at and murid of Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni, rahmatullah alayhi. And he used to say, he says that in salah, when salah is for the zikr of Allah ta'ala, why is it that namaz has been brought in salah? So he explained this. He says that durood is that ibadat, as-salatu ala nabi da'watun mustajab, that durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such an ibadat, it's 100% accepted. There's no doubt in it. 100%. If a person, he does any ibadat and a little bit of pride comes in there, or ostentation, I want to show somebody, finished. It's gone, zero, it's gone to the ground. But durood, even if you read it, pride is accepted in the court of Allah ta'ala. So accepted durood is. That is why the beginning of our dua, we start with durood sharif. Then in the end of our dua, durood sharif. And in between, whatever dua you want to make, you make. Why? Because if the beginning, the durood sharif is accepted, and the end, the durood sharif is accepted, when the beginning is accepted, the end is accepted, how will Allah ta'ala then turn the middle away? Allah ta'ala will accept the middle also. So through durood sharif, your dua will be accepted. حضرت حکیم صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ وسلم سے, اگر صلی علی نہ ہو زباں پر تو کیا اثر ہوگا آہ و فغا میں. That if درود شریف is not on the tongue, then in your crying and pleading before Allah تبارک و تعالی, what effect is going to have? It is that درود شریف that will pull your dua to acceptance, which I was explained. He gives the example of the airport. He says in the airport you got a massive plane, 737, 747, whatever it might be, carrying 300, 350 passengers. So what a massive plane, and there's so much of cargo that's in there as well. He says, but what pulls that plane, that massive plane, onto the runway? He says, that little tug, small tug, it's pulling such a big aeroplane, and it brings it onto the runway. And then that plane takes off 180, 200 kilometers an hour, and then cruises on top at 1,000 kilometers an hour, and then 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 kilometers distance it covers. But what brought it on the runway is the tug. He says, understand your durood sharif. Durood sharif will bring your dua to acceptance. Durood Sharif, it will bring your namaz to acceptance. We know what is the condition of our namaz, where our mind is going. But the durood in the end is accepted. So when the durood is accepted, it will bring our salah also to acceptance. So that is why in our salah, there is durood Sharif as well. And any person that attaches himself with durood, with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person, how Allah ta'ala protected Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala will protect him also. Time is up, inshallah. We'll continue this on Monday, inshallah. سبحان الله.